Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
There'll be people listening to this that are, you know, they left university, they went to school, and now they're a lawyer, and they've been a lawyer for 15 years. Or they might be, I don't know, a dentist. Now they've been a dentist for 20 years. And a lot of the time when I speak to these people, there's this other voice inside them that's been suppressed over time, which is probably all they can be. And they've got really consumed in this identity, which their like parents wanted them to adopt, of being a doctor or a lawyer, whatever it might be. When I speak to these people, they are seemingly trapped by something. And that force that's trapping them seems to be so much stronger than the other voice, which they sometimes can even point to as being a more fulfilling life, which is, I guess, all they can be. They want to go and be an artist. Yeah. They speak to me before my show, they show me their Instagram, and they're the most unbelievable artist I've ever seen in my life. And their face lights up when they talk about that thing. But when I ask them what they do, they say, yeah, I work in the city. I work in finance for like KPMG or something. And you can see the dread in their face.
Yep.
How does someone start the journey? And I think you alluded to vulnerability there, but how does someone start the journey of going from that place of, you know, confinement and identity and I am this thing that I've earned through my achievements to being all I can be in a practical way? How does that journey begin?
I think that voice, that inner calling, as you just said, is passion and excitement versus the duty and the need and the fulfilling the roles, if you like, of society. And I think, therefore, for me, the way that works is that you add to the passion, excitement constantly, and allow that to look after your deepest intention, which is always, I want to spend, I think, all my time fully present, which means doing what I love doing, being who I feel like I'm meant to be, as much as that will keep evolving and changing. So therefore it comes down to following your highest passion and excitement in every moment. And people might argue straight away, well, how can I do that if I've got to be at work at 7 a.m. and I've got to do this and I've got to go and traipse across town to get here? You say, yes, but within the boundaries of what you have to do, what's your highest excitement? Follow that. So, you know, I've got to drive across here and it's going to take me 2 hours. But then when you're in the car, tune into what's my highest passion, excitement. I love this podcast. Okay, go. That's it. I really want to listen. I've got that, my hands free. I'm going to phone so-and-so because I just thought of them and I really want to chat to them. Follow that intuitive, instinctive, impulsive side that comes from what you want. And when that gains momentum, I think the way it works is that the universe responds by providing more and more opportunities to do more and more of what you like, so that your highest and passionate excitement, the environment allows for you to really do more and more of what you really love doing. But you've got to start the ball rolling by saying, right, within this moment right now, what's my highest passion, excitement? How can I bring more of me into this, as opposed to allow this to take away more of me? And I think that is a journey that just looks after itself. You know, it's on a physical level, it's the little things you can do, set goals and allow them to, you know, what you focus on what you can do and allow it to expand and grow into the most amazing things. It's the same way of just doing that on an internal level. It's just follow your highest. It might be physical. Mm. It might just be things I love thinking about. Even if it comes down to being, you know, you're stuck in a lift and you're kind of like, and it's a tiny lift and you're going to be there for a while. Okay, but people talk about going to a happy place, but that's what's my highest passion, excitement. Oh, what I love to be doing now, paint it, picture it, think of it, dream it, feel it, all those kind of things. All these things are amazing things to be doing. And if you're following your highest passion, if you're enjoying and embracing this moment, I spoke to someone recently who was saying that, you know, to know you're on track for your future manifestations of your dreams, the indicator is often how deeply are you embracing and enjoying this moment now. And once you find yourself loving this moment, it's amazing how much things just fall into place for you. And I think that's the key, is to be able to say, whatever it is, whatever you can do, do it and bring it to this. And I think that voice that says, oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. It's not possible. I shouldn't do this, or it's not right, is another way of saying, I can't be me.
It's so interesting, because when you were saying that, I was thinking about the former version of myself at 18, living in Manchester and Moss Side, where, you know, I was very, very, I had nothing, and I was shoplifting, as I've talked about a million times, food to feed myself. But in that moment, although I was working in call centers at night shifts, I was so unbelievably excited by life, because I was also designing my website designing my future business in my lunchtime, in my breaks of that call center. I've said this for years, and I don't think people believed me, but I've said, I was as happy then as I am now. That kid was so optimistic and so happy, even though he had no money and he was working night shifts in a call center. And it sounds so privileged, and like, obviously because of money now, whatever. But it resonated with so much of what you were saying then. I think it's because of what you were saying then, was I was still pursuing my highest passion, despite the fact that I was working in this call center. I was still occupying all of my time and my thoughts that I could with that future. And that's what I believe manifested me being here, because I could have made the decision that this was my destination and my forever, and I'd probably still be there now in Moss Side.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The idea about following your highest passion, there is a passion, I think, deep down, is for expressing who you are. And there's no doubt for me that rugby, for that period of my life, was what I was meant to do. That's how I was supposed to play out. That was what I was supposed to be at that time. But then your passion changes slightly. And to be able to leave the rugby and follow that passion, often I think people say, you know, it's really difficult to find my next passion. But I think having that kind of ability to leave behind what's been is what allows passion for what can be. And I think, like we were saying before, about wanting to, you finish your rugby and then you think, I'll go straight into coaching because it's close enough and people still know me. But actually, to have that period of not just after an end of a career, but daily, to have that quiet period every day where you just sit, not with ideas, I'm going to think about this, or I need to plan this, or I need to work out what my passion is, but just sit and just disconnect from that pull of the external, eyes closed, and just watch. But of course, straight away comes in is, yeah, am I doing this right? What should be happening? Should I be feeling something? I haven't had any ideas. It's been 2 weeks, but just do it. Just do it in the name of moving to your potential. Because we were so willing to give to our limits. Look at how many years we spend suffering and telling ourselves certain things that have come from old ideas that no longer serve us. And we're willing to give all our time to those. But people are still like, oh, it's too hard to find 10 minutes to sit on an evening. What am I going to do? When actually, you know, you have that moment where you're sat watching something on TV and it's not really interesting you, and you're kind of like, that's time there. But once that ball gets rolling, when your passion centers around something and everything comes out of that same passion, so it's all aligned, it's all kind of focused energy, that's going to manifest. There's no doubt. You know, like, I'm sure at some level, there's no way you get to where you are now without there being that drive. Now, I had that in the rugby, and a lot of it was sort of conflict, and it stressed the hell out of me, but it was so damn strong that it had to win because I wouldn't let it not win. I just didn't do it in a way that was enjoyable.
Same.
And now I think when you release the conflict, you get even more flow. You get an effortless version of what I've done through efforting. I've efforted heavily. I heard that word recently. I really like it. I much prefer it than tried or given so much, but I've really made it a sort of an effort version of how to get to the top. And what that means is, when I look back, it's like, how was it? Oh, I never smelt the roses. That's what most people say. Yeah, because there's another way to do it. And maybe that's how this has come out for you versus the first. I don't know, you know, like these projects for me, the next things I'm doing seem to just kind of, oh yeah, there it is. That's interesting. Whereas before it was, God, I've sorted that. Get out of there. Don't you dare. Whatever it is. I think that just comes from at some point just saying, well, okay, this is what I've got. Acceptance. And then what do I want to do right now? What's my next step? Responsibility. And you can't get to that passion without the acceptance. And the acceptance is, this is what I've got. This is where I'm meant to be. This is how things are. And once I come to ease with that, then suddenly there is that, oh, I can start to feel what it is I want to do next.
Yeah.
But while there's that resistance to this, it shouldn't be this way. And should I be doing this, or I'm elsewhere, future, past? Passion and excitement are kind of like, look, whilst you're trying to survive, we're not relevant to you. You know, someone in survival isn't really interested in passion and excitement. And I was in survival most of my career, hence why I keep saying about my career, you know, the passion and excitement died away. Not because I fell out of love with rugby at all. Not at all. Just purely that I was in survival mode more and more and more. And the more I went into it, the less relevant creativity, growth, love, connection with teammates, excitement, passion, joy. It's just not relevant to that.
You are always one decision away from taking your business to the next level. And a decision that's helped me to transform my business is moving over to NetSuite, who I'm excited to say are a sponsor of this podcast. If you don't know already, NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. It's reduced IT costs because it lives in the cloud, so you can access it from anywhere. And the cost of managing and running multiple systems, because it's in one unified business management suite. My team and I don't have to worry about tasks being manual and clunky, and it means that I can be more efficient and to focus on more important things like bringing you the best episodes and guests on this show. So I become one of the 37,000 companies that have already made the move over to NetSuite. NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks, so head to netsuite.com/Bartlett for a free product tour. Back to the episode. You are always one decision away from taking your business to the next level. And a decision that's helped me to transform my business is moving over to NetSuite, who I'm excited to say are a sponsor of this podcast. If you don't know already, NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. It's reduced IT costs because it lives in the cloud, so you can access it from anywhere. And the cost of managing and running multiple systems, because it's in one unified business management suite. My team and I don't have to worry about tasks being manual and clunky, and it means that I can be more efficient and to focus on more important things like bringing you the best episodes and guests on this show. So I become one of the 37,000 companies that have already made the move over to NetSuite. NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks, so head to netsuite.com/Bartlett for a free product tour. Back to the episode.